For KASU, I'm Jonathan Reeves. Friday, May 17th, 1957, KASU radio station signed on the air on the campus of Arkansas State College in Jonesboro. The frequency, 91.9 megacycles. The station broadcasted out of the Wilson Hall building. Signal strength, 760 watts, which gave the station a coverage distance of 20 miles. Dr. Carl R. Ring was extremely pleased with KASU. He gave the opening speech when KASU signed on the air. The Arkansas State Band performed a concert, and interviews were conducted on air with students and faculty members. Ring was the president of Arkansas State College. He saw KASU as a station that would be an outreach tool of the college, a station that would entertain and inform its listeners, as well as being a training ground for those who wanted to go into radio journalism. In those days, KASU was not on the air 24 hours a day. It was more like 8 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and 4 hours a day on Saturdays. No programs on Sundays. The exception to the rule was sports. Football and men's basketball games were originated from KASU, and the Indian Sports Network fed games to stations across the region, even as far away as Little Rock. In 1958, interest in the radio journalism program skyrocketed. The Indian Network saw an increasing listenership, and programs were taking off. In that year, John Kramer retired. Over the next 3 years, KASU and the radio journalism program faced some challenges. In 1959, the quality of the program on KASU's FM signal declined dramatically, and the station barely signed on. This is because attention was turned to an AM carrier current, which would allow for the students to listen to the station along electrical lines. Radios would have to be plugged into power outlets or located near a power line to pick up the station. AM stations were more popular than FM stations in those days, so the focus was to get more people to listen to KASU's signal on AM. KASU's FM signal no longer had regular broadcast hours and was seldom on the air. The station was not run as professionally as it was in the past, and the station almost lost its license from the Federal Communications Commission due to a very late renewal. In 1961, Charles Raspberry was brought in to manage KASU and turn around a program that had been going in the wrong direction. And this is what Raspberry remembers.
Well, I remember it was on my desk when I came in that summer that a letter from the FCC saying, this must be done or you will lose your license. So I distinctly remember firing off a letter to the FCC saying there are new folks aboard, we're getting it under control, we got the necessary paperwork that the FCC was needing completed, and we got it to them and got our license renewed. And so from there on, we've been okay.
Under Raspberry's direction, KASU kept its FM license and attention was turned to the FM signal. The station started running professionally again, and Raspberry revamped the broadcasting program at Arkansas State. Students were the heart of running the station and creating the bulk of the programming that aired on KASU. Raspberry also increased the number of hours KASU broadcasted daily. The new schedule was from noon to 10. And Raspberry says the reason he was able to turn KASU around, as well as the broadcasting program on campus, was because of the support KASU received from the university administration.
KASU had an old Western Electric transmitter. I say old because it was old when the ASU bought it and brought it up here to start this station. And you couldn't get the parts, you couldn't get the tubes, and yet somehow we got it patched so it was running. But we were broadcasting the Mississippi State football game that fall. And we were feeding the game to several stations, some by telephone lines and some off of our air. When that transmitter went kaplunk, it played out. We never did get that transmitter back on the air. We got the game fed that afternoon and by other ways to the stations. But I remember going in and talking to Dr. Ring the next morning, and I remember saying, Dr. Ring, we can have a radio program of sorts. We can teach students without an on-the-air radio station. But if you want an on-the-air radio station, we're going to have a new transmitter. And he said, well, let me think about that, and I'll get back to you. Well, late that afternoon, our vice president for finance, L. Cameron, called me down and said, Dr. Ring says, go ahead and buy the new transmitter. And that is one of the most significant decisions ever made in the history of KASU.
Raspberry says his support also was evident as KASU moved from Wilson Hall to a new building built on campus in 1966, which helped provide needed classrooms and offices for KASU. During the summer of 1966, KASU received permission from the Federal Communications Commission to increase power from 760 watts to 3,500 watts. A 160-foot transmitting tower with a four-bay antenna was constructed near where the Convocation Center is located today. In 1967, Arkansas State College was granted university status, making KASU an accurate name for the station. In that same year, the Carnegie Commission issued a report on non-commercial broadcasting in the country. One of the recommendations in the report was that Congress provide funding to those stations through the formation of what would be the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That year, United States President Lyndon B. Johnson persuaded Congress to approve the Public Broadcasting Act. KASU applied for a grant and received its first grant in 1970. Before the grant was approved, KASU was only able to stay on the air during semesters and not year-round. Raspberry says the first CPB grant that KASU received was for almost $13,000, and that was used for year-round broadcasting.
The grant helped us fund us to operate in the summer, and I can remember how significant that was to all of us. That was a joyous occasion.
In 1970, KASU started broadcasting 6 days a week from noon to 10 p.m. year-round. In 1971, KASU accomplished one of its many firsts as it became a member of the newly formed National Public Radio. KASU started carrying the news magazine All Things Considered. In 1971, KASU received a community service grant, which allowed the station to broadcast from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. In 1973, KASU received a $68,000 grant from the Educational Broadcasting Facilities Program to begin broadcasting in stereo and to increase its power to 100,000 watts. The new transmitting tower was constructed in the summer of 1973 at a site 4 miles north of Jonesboro. KASU started broadcasting at the new wattage in August of 1973 and started broadcasting 18 hours a day. The popularity of the broadcasting program's growth led to construction of a new building on the A-State campus to house the communications and education programs. Construction on the new building started in 1980 and was complete in 1983. KASU moved to the new building in 1982 and started operating in the studios that KASU are still in today. KASU started broadcasting from the new building on June 30, 1982. Then Governor Bill Clinton dedicated the building April 14, 1983. Later in the 1980s, KASU would broadcast 24 hours a day. In our next program, we'll continue the story of the history of KASU as we'll focus on the programs that were aired in the early days. For KASU, I'm Jonathan Reeves.